ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, good morning and welcome. Well, you know, summer's in full swing and travel is a big part of summer. A lot of people are traveling. Unfortunately, we've heard a lot of bad news, plane crashes, railways, bus accidents. And while you maybe can't do anything to always prevent those, there are some things you can do to make your travel safe. My next guest, Dr. William Jaquist, is here. He is a board member of the American College of Emergency Physicians. He's also the system chief of emergency medicine at LifeBridge and a physician at Sinai Hospital of Baltimore. Welcome, Dr. Jaquist. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Lee.
So, you know, let's talk about the things that you can do as you're preparing to travel. There's both airline. There must be some things you can do with air travel or road travel. So let's just start as you pack up the kids and get in the car. What do you think is important that people should think about before they set out?
Well, there are a few things you can do. And obviously, the better you can be prepared when you travel, the better you'll be with traveling, because we can't plan, as you said, for every contingency, but we can plan for a few. The first thing, I think, is something many of us have trouble with, which is make sure you're well-rested, especially when traveling with children. It's a little hard, but the more awake and alert you are when you travel, the more opportunity you have to avoid circumstances that could be difficult. The second is to make sure that as you travel, plan for those contingencies if you break down. Do you have a way of reaching AAA if that's who you use, or phone numbers that you could call if you need to call somebody while you're traveling? And just make sure that if you have extra water or things to hydrate people on the way, those are some really basic things you can do before you travel.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because if you think about it, I mean, you know, there are rest stops on the road, say if you're driving, but, you know, some of them can be 30 miles apart, and, you know, you could be waiting a while for a tow truck. So, especially in the hot sun, your car's not running, no air conditioning. So that's a good point. Carry a lot of water. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. And I think, you know, the other thing, too, is you don't know when you break down how far you'll be away, as you said. So just, you know, making sure that all those things are stashed in the car is great.
Yeah, like maybe some energy bars, things to keep the kids occupied, and things like that. And what do you recommend to people as far as for kids? You know, you got to make sure that their safety seats and everything are correctly attached. I mean, car accidents are huge, as you know from an ER doc. You see them all the time. So, and highway travel, the fatalities are usually greater because of the speeds, correct?
Yeah. The good thing is, you know, the days where, when I was a kid, where the four kids stood in the back seat and played around are gone. That's the good part of it. And beating up my brothers. But, you know, now with safety restraints, it is much better. You just have to make sure you're used, because a lot of times if you're getting children in the back seat and you don't think in the back seat there's as much danger, but there clearly is. So making sure they're properly used and sized and restrained. And as you said, if there are car seats or booster seats that are needed, making sure that the kids are in those areas as well as the adults when they're traveling.
Yeah, I think on long car trips, you know, people are bringing blankets and pillows and things, and they sort of think it's this kind of license to stretch out. And it's true, you know, when we were kids, you'd throw like 8 kids in the back of a station wagon, you know, even the part that didn't have the seat. And, you know, you'd be laying all over the place. But that's actually very dangerous. So even if you want to lay down and use blankets and pillows, you should always have a seatbelt on.
Yeah.
So what about other things? Say you're traveling to a different town, you know, someplace where you don't know. What do you recommend for people as far as, you know, medications and things they should take in case, you know, they have an accident or they end up at a hospital someplace else? What helps you as an ER doc in a city where, you know, you haven't seen somebody before, although technically we're not supposed to see our patients a lot in the ER, but you know, sometimes we do. What can you tell people to bring during travel? Like,
just like with what we talked about before, preparation is key. Certainly if you have a medical illness that might need attention on the road, it's a good idea to do a little research before you go and see what facilities are available to you on the way and in your destination that might be able to take care of whatever you might need. As always, it's a great idea to make sure not only that you have your medications that you think you might need for that particular week, but also medications that might extend that should you, as we talked about before, get stranded or not be able to get to those things. And one thing that's very key, which is we deal with a lot in emergency departments, it's very helpful to have your medical history with you and your medication list with you when you're traveling. If you happen to end up in an emergency department, it goes a long way to understanding you if you have the information with you, and it's something that many people do forget. You know, a lot of times we see people and they remember they take a blue pill in the morning and two red pills at night, but that's not enough for us to go on. So being well prepared with taking the medication with you, making sure you have your history, and then also understanding what you might need where you get.
Okay, that's very good advice. Now, when you talk about air travel, you know, there are some basics, you know, with little kids, issues with sinus and pressure going up and down. So what do you recommend for people if they have those problems, middle ear problems or such?
Yeah, and some of that depends on the age of the child as well, because there are certain medications that can help in an older child if they do have trouble with sinuses or congestion. You know, one of the big things is if your child has significant congestion, you may want to reconsider your travel date. Obviously, they clear their ears by being able to breathe and get air up through their auditory tube and through their mouth. But if that's congested, they're not going to be able to adapt to the pressure as they go up and down. So, you know, anything that's congested to begin with will be worse in the air. And if they're just sort of a normal, make sure if they're on medication, they take it for allergies or whatever other type of medication. But as you go up and as you go down and as the cabin's equalizing pressure, the ability of a younger child or infant to equalize pressure is not as good. So one of the things that may help is having the ability to give them something to drink as they're coming down, for instance, because that way the tension on the back of their throat may help open up their auditory canals and equalize their pressure as well.
Okay, that's good advice. And then what about whether you're in a plane or sometimes a long car ride, what are the risks people have sitting or in one position for such a long time?
Well, I think there's some things that are unique to the plane versus the car, but the one constant is if you sit a long time, your blood does not have a chance to circulate. And so you will be at greater risk of developing clots in your veins. Even on what you think might be a short trip or a short flight, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, there can be some pooling, especially if you're more at risk from other medical problems. So it's a good idea, although you certainly, when you're driving in particular, you're often pushing to try and get someplace quickly. Do stop every few hours and get out and walk and move around, because that'll get the blood recirculating and allow you the best opportunity to prevent clotting. In the air, there's also that same problem, let alone the fact that you're in a plane for a long time. Much of the time, you're often in a seat. At least in a car, you can stop and get out. That's pretty difficult to do in an airplane. So you still need to get up and get out of your seat and move around and take a walk up and down the aisle. Avoid that front cockpit, but up and down the aisle so that you can circulate your blood a little more clearly.
Yeah, that's a very good tip, and especially people that are smokers, obese, and DVTs, that's especially important. I want to thank Dr. Jayquist for giving us some great tips. This has been ER. You're listening to ER 101. I'm Dr. Levin Oker on Radio MD. Stay well.